Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and video show which brings you role models sharing their leadership lessons, knowledge, and experience. To date, we've spoken to hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe so you won't miss a new episode. I'm your host, Fritz Bussemaker, and today I'm delighted and privileged to have a conversation with Karen Luiten. Karen, welcome to the program.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Allow me to introduce you to our audience so people have a first impression of who you are and your background. You are a full-time culinary journalist for one of the national Dutch newspapers. Since 2005, you are a full-time author of cookbooks with over 20 books at your name and over 250,000 copies sold. You're also one of the very first social media cooks, cooks on social media, educated in Amsterdam, translation French and Spanish, but also start your job working for the Dutch Opera. So again, Karen, welcome to The Brand Called You. And one of my first questions is, I can assume an answer, but how do you make a shift from opera to writing about food? How did that happen?
Oh, well, to start with, the opera was an accident. I had studied languages. And I wanted to be a translator, but in the end, I thought that would be too much of a solitary job. And because of the languages, I ended up, as I said, by accident at the Opera House, where I spoke languages all day with singers from all around the world. And that was fantastic. But after like 7 years, I got the 7 year itch problem. So I went looking for another job. Actually, I didn't start the cooking business right away. I went to a publishing company first. So I published magazines again for like 6-7 years, and then the itch came up again. And then I started wondering, you know, what's next? Do I want to do something in communication? The only thing I really cared about was cooking and making drawings. So a friend of mine said, well, why don't you start a website?
Okay.
Yeah, with recipes. And back in the day, I mean, we're talking prehistoric times, 2005, food blogs did not really exist, at least not in the Netherlands. So I started with, because I had loads of recipes that I had written down on little pieces of paper that I gathered in a shoebox somewhere. So I started writing out these recipes and put them on a blog, and someone helped me with it, but it was really a very simple kind of blog. Initially, it was just me looking at it and my mother, of course. But soon it really started developing, and I got loads of views. And then I thought, yeah, well, a blog is all very nice and very well, but if you're in the kitchen, you need to have something on paper if you start cooking. So I thought, I want a cookbook, and I've talked to various sort of publishing companies. And they all said, well, we don't know you, you're not famous, why don't you come back by the time you're famous? So that was the first bumpy road. But in the end, I managed to convince one publisher to publish my book. And for me, it was magic. And I thought, this is what I really like and what I really want. So and that was book one.
Okay. If you'd have to choose, is it the writing or is it the cooking?
I think it's the combination, because initially, well, when I started the blog, I still had my job at the publishing company, but I noticed that I got far more energy from my blog than from my regular job. So after a few months, I decided, okay, I'll quit my job. Because then, you know, I have an open mind to think, what else can I do with this cooking business? So initially, I started with catering and with giving workshops. And the actual cooking business, not so much the writing, but teach, for example, workshops is something fabulous to do, because you can teach people how to cook. Because by then, I realized there are so many people out there who don't have a clue. You give them a red pepper and they don't know you have to take off the stalk and you know, open it and cut out these little grains that are in there. People don't know. So I could really teach them. And that was very inspiring. But on the other hand, catering, for instance, I noticed that I love spending days in the kitchen and cooking for friends and family. But when I'm cooking for people I don't know, I just thought, yeah, spending 3 days in the kitchen, even if they pay me for it, it's a lot of work. Why would I do that? So I started shifting a bit because I noticed that, the actual cooking business, I'm not a chef. I've never worked in a restaurant. I couldn't possibly do that because that's another line of work altogether. I'm much better, I found out, at trying to make the cooking business into something that everybody can do. So it's more the teaching and helping people understand what cooking is about and that it doesn't have to be complicated and that it doesn't have to cost you hours and hours and that you don't need fancy equipment. And that's, I think, what I'm good at. And at the same time, I noticed whilst I really loved the workshops, it didn't pay me a living. So then I noticed I'm better at writing about food and then sort of helping people by my writing to get enthusiastic to go into the kitchen. And that's when I started to really focus on the writing. But obviously, I still spend days on end in the kitchen because I have to try all my recipes and try them again and try them again. And yeah.
And I find it funny that you, like a lot of people I've been able to talk to, make exactly the same remark is you're following your passion, you're following what inspires you, that gives you energy. I think that was literally what you
It
said
does.
a couple of minutes ago. And then it takes some time to find out what exactly. So you have a vague idea, I want to be more or less in this space. And then you have to experiment. Oh, that's what it's about. That's my sweet spot.
Yeah.
So.
Well, when I quit my job, I decided, okay, I'll give it a year and I'll try anything that comes onto my path. So that's, hence the catering and the workshops and but I did all sorts of things. I even translated an English cookbook, for instance, and because I thought, I'll just try it. And I decided to minimalize on my costs. So, I thought I have some savings. I can manage for a year without earning any money. And I decided, for instance, a very practical thing, I decided to stop buying clothes, shoes. I didn't go to the hairdresser, all these kind of costs. I thought cut because I thought, okay, I really want to focus on this and I want to see if it works. And if it doesn't work, after a year, I could always go back and find a job. That's what I thought at the time. But of course, I never went back to a job and I love being my own boss. But I think that's a good way to start, to just try and throw yourself into it and just, see, because it works both ways. It helps you to see what suits you. And also it passes the time and it brings you money. And it's, these two things can help you. Just go with the flow and try it.
But it also brings me to a question about success, because sometimes I see people describe success as something superficial, something you see. So the minute, say I'm not I'm stopping going to the hairdressers, I stop buying new clothes. That could be perceived as your environment. Oh, she's not successful. Just look, wearing the same clothes, messy hair.
No, but
Is there
that's for the
something
trial period. I
that,
think, yeah, nobody is successful straight away. I mean, maybe there are people who are successful straight away, but I'm not one of them. So I think you should give it a try and start at the bottom. And you should never do something because you want to be famous or successful. You have to start doing something because you really love it and you get energy from it and you get loads of ideas while you're doing it. So that
okay.
I think should be your drive. And if
Hey,
then success comes, that's very helpful
I
because that gives you the possibility to develop more ideas and do new things. And
that really brings me to a question I have on when did you first realize I'm going to be successful in this industry?
I never did.
No?
I never did. No. No, because I don't consider myself a famous person, not at all. I mean, I can go to the supermarket and nobody recognizes me, which is very good because I like being, unrecognized. And at the same time, I do know I've sold a lot of books. I have a lot of fans whom I've really helped to like cooking, and that's my drive. That's what I want. I want people to email me and tell me, your book changed my life because I hated cooking before and now I love it and my kids love it too and they eat everything. And that's when I think, yes,
Okay,
that's what I want to achieve.
job well done. Okay, a couple of questions on the cooking itself. First of all, what's your favorite kitchen?
Well, as I started out my cooking when because my mother didn't like cooking. Sorry, mom, but it's true. She really didn't like it. So I never learned to cook from home. All I did when I was a youngster, I baked apple pies all day. But then after I finished high school, I didn't know what to do. So I went one year as an au pair girl to Switzerland, the French part of Switzerland. And then I ended up with a family of a single mom with three kids, and I had to cook for the kids. And I couldn't feed them, obviously, on apple pie. So I had to start learning how to cook. So I started with cookbooks and magazines. And I just tried it. And that's when I found out that I had a feeling for it. And the three kids, they ate everything, more or less. So that's how I started developing my cooking skills. But what was your question?
Well, it's good to know how you started to develop your cooking skills, but is there a particular kitchen where so
Kitchen. Oh
this is
yeah,
my
that's how I
favorite
started the story.
kitchen?
Because as I did, I started with the French cookbooks and the French magazine. So the French cuisine is really my basis for everything. The traditional dishes and the sauces and the chickens and and then I sort of added a bit of the other Mediterranean countries, so like Italian, but my basis is still very French. And whenever I have a question of how to do something, I have this very, very big sort of encyclopedic French cookbook in French, obviously. And then I look it up, how to do things, and like how to make a traditional bechamel sauce so French is my basis, but yeah, I love to travel and I love to eat. So wherever I go around the world, I try to eat as many local things as possible. And the good point of living in the Netherlands, of living in Amsterdam, is that you can find all ingredients from all around the world, just in my case, around the corner. So if I want to make a Thai dish or a South American dish, I can find the ingredients and I can make it. And I find that fascinating.
Okay. And by the way, does being able to translate from French and Spanish, has that helped you? I would assume yes.
Don't know.
Reading,
I'm not sure.
if you want to prepare a meal, would you prefer then to use the French cookbook, so the original cookbook, or does is the translation good enough?
No, French, I prefer the original version. Like, yeah, I don't buy a translated French book ever. I read novels in French. I don't read them in translation. No, no, that's my pride. I
Okay,
studied
good.
French for hundreds of years, so no, that's not a problem.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, behind you, for the readers who do not understand Dutch, is the cover of one of your books, Wereldgerechten zonder pakjes en zakjes, which can be translated to world dishes without any packages at all. So,
Yeah.
first of all, this means you've moved on from French cooking to global cooking, but also seems to be a message there as well. Let's cook without all the processed food.
Yes, well, actually the French cooking started to move away very soon because what I noticed in Holland, for instance, when I go to the supermarket, I see lots of people who buy what I call the powder mixes. The Dutch don't really have, I think, a deep felt food culture.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, we have dishes we all love, and we have our famous herring and our famous cookie stroopwafels and our famous snacks, the bitter balls. But it's not really a deeply felt food tradition and a food culture. And I think a lot of the Dutch don't know how to cook. So what people buy in supermarkets is these packages where you have a box, and in the box are a few bags with powder mixes, and then you add water, some leeks, and some chicken breasts, and then you have a dish, and then they call it chicken tandoori,
Yeah.
which I find I have one here. I find that weird. And I started noticing, and in the supermarket, lots of people buy that. And I thought, why would you want to buy a package with powder in it instead of just buying the fresh ingredients and some herbs and spices and make it yourself? So that's where I started to realize, okay, I want to, because everything has been done in cookbook world already. So I thought, this is something new. I can try and help the people who buy these prefab foods. I can teach them how to make it from scratch with fresh ingredients. And that's what started, I think, years ago, my third book, I think, was that. And from then on, I started developing it, because every time I come to the supermarket, I see that there are more products out there. And I keep being surprised that people buy that. And it's, you know, it's more and more common knowledge that all these high processed foods are not good for us. Well, apart from the obesity problems, they also give you heart problems and diabetes problems, and the scientists are more and more sure about that. So I think I need to try and tell people how to eat real food. You know, like the famous Michael Pollan said all those years ago, eat food, you know, real food, and don't eat anything your grandmother wouldn't recognize. And I completely agree with that. I
Good
mean,
moment to ask you the following question. Do you have any role models in your profession?
Well, when I started out with my blog all those years ago, I loved to watch the BBC and all the cooking programs.
The Ready, Steady, Cook
Oh,
program.
yes. Oh, Ainsley. Oh, I love Ainsley. And of course, the Great British Bake Off and the Great British Menu. And I love Delia, Nigella, Jamie Oliver. And all those, I thought they were extremely inspiring. So I always sat, you know, by the television with a notebook just to write things down. And even if it was a program with famous chefs, I did write down like taste combinations, because I thought, oh, that's interesting. I can do some. I mean, obviously I would never do it in the big chef's way, but I would try to tune it down to the home cook, how a home cook could do it. And
Okay,
I thought it was very inspiring.
I also hear, I'm assuming a cooking philosophy, rather than dumbing down a restaurant dish, you look, okay, how can I upgrade from a package to healthy food in a normal kitchen?
Yes, I'm not a trained chef. I said it before. I'm a home cook, and I've learned how to cook through trial and error and just trying recipes. And as soon as I start with a recipe, I start adapting, because there's something I don't have and I don't want to go out again to go shopping. So I substitute it with something else, or I think, why don't I do this in the oven? That's so much easier than in a pan, because in a pan you have to keep stirring, and in the oven you just, you know,
Yeah.
shove it away and you put the timer and you go and do something else. So I'm always adapting things and trying to make things easier without losing the taste, because I think food should be good and tasty. And there are so many like microwave meals out there that people eat and they think, oh, you know, it's all right, it's not a problem, it's, you know, it's feasible. And I think, no, life's too short to eat things you don't really love. It's important. It's, you know, It brings joy in life, apart from a good health. I think it's important to eat things you really love every day and not just on your birthday. So that's my mission in life. And the packages help me because when I find, for instance, a package with broccoli soup and it says, I always read the small print in the back, which nobody does, because they put a picture on it with a big broccoli and a nice bowl of soup. And you think, oh no, this looks healthy. But when you look at the small print, it says there's 0.5% of broccoli in it. And the rest is just salt and sugar and starch. And then I think, why? Just buy yourself a broccoli and put it in a pan with some onions and some stock and that's it, you have a soup. Sorry if I got passionate about it, but
No, that's what I love.
I'm
It is about
really
sharing passion,
surprised that
so that's
people don't
great.
know that they go and buy a package because it has a fancy picture on it. And that is also something we've been convinced by the food industry that cooking is very difficult and it takes a lot of time and we're all busy, busy, busy people and we don't have time to spend hours in the kitchen. So you need to buy our products because we help you. And I think that's completely false. But they've got billions and billions of marketing budgets. And it gets worse and worse because now they put, for instance, on these packages, they put, because they're very concerned about our health. So they say, oh, now with 250 grams of vegetables per person. But the vegetables aren't in there. You need to buy them yourself because what you buy is just a package with a powder mix, as I said, with sugar and salt and starch and some spices. But if you buy some spices, these little pots yourself, you can make tons of meals and it costs you even less and it's tastier. So,
Oh, you're
let's
preaching to
go
the
for it.
converted. You're very much preaching to the converted. Now, in this, I'd say, endeavor of writing for people about cooking, has it been a smooth ride or has it been a bumpy road? Have there been some mishaps where you say, "Oh, I should not have done this," or "That this is where I learned a very invaluable lesson"?
I'm not sure. I don't think things really went catastrophically wrong. You say that. No, it's yeah.
No, that's good. Then you're one of the lucky ones, I guess.
I'm not sure. No, it is. I find it sometimes I find it disappointing when I go into a supermarket and I still all these products are still there, and then I think, what's the point of my crusade if the food industry just goes on with making all these products that I'm so against? But then I realize, no, but that I do help people and I do make a difference. So I shouldn't see it on a global scale, I think. I'm happy with what I've achieved so far, but yeah.
Maybe question them. Maybe the food industry is meeting us halfway, and I don't know if this is particular something Dutch or not, but you have these offers where you get a box you can get on a particular day with fresh vegetables and a recipe. Some argue that's not cooking. The other argue a counter argument, well, at least it's taking away people from the packages to more healthy food.
Of
What do you
course,
think about that?
that's cooking. It's just that it's a box full of ingredients and they put the recipe with it. And they give people new ideas because that's what most people have only, like, I think a maximum of 10, sorry, recipes in their head that they can make from scratch without looking at any recipe. And they can just make it, how to make a bolognese sauce, for instance, with pasta. But if you have these 10 dishes you can make, sometimes you get very tired of it. So it's helpful to get inspiration. And these boxes, I think, are a good way to help people, with fresh inspiration. What I do see is that, well, first it's very expensive because it has to be, it's all tailored to exact quantities. And it gets brought to your own home, which also costs. But I do notice that people, after a while, they get tired of it, so then they stop it again. And but
But
I
it's a
think
start to change your life.
every step towards inciting people to do things themselves, and for like the COVID, for that was very good because people stayed at home, they worked from home, and then they realized, oh, but it's very nice to make your own bread or to make a stew that has to stand on the stovetop for 4 hours, but that's not a problem because I'm home and I can see, it's just easily prattling away. And tonight I have a wonderful dinner. So
Karen,
all needs
I
are
love talking
welcome.
to you about your passion about food. Hey, I have two questions for you. Unfortunately, because we're running out of time for this interview, but first of all, question is, how do you want the world to remember you? How do you want? Because this is the brand called you. So, what is your brand at the end of the day? How do you want people to see you?
Because well, my slogan is against the packages. So I don't want to be remembered as someone who's against something, who's always with that little finger saying you shouldn't eat this and this is bad for you. I'd love to be remembered as someone who's in favor of cooking, who is inspiring and who is literally helping people to enjoy food again and to enjoy cooking. That's what I would love to be remembered as. Not at the that lady who's always against everything. And
Good.
no.
Well, let's then also end on a high note because I would like to ask you, what's your signature dish? What's the dish you would recommend anybody, everybody try to learn to make this dish?
Oh, that's like asking a mother who's your favorite kid. No, I think the joy of cooking is that one day you feel like, oh, I'll just make a simple pasta, and the next day you think, oh, I'll make a big pavlova with all the trimmings, and yeah. Oh, that's no. Oh.
That's a fair answer, but I
No,
accept.
I like the variation and the fact that I can one day cook Indian and the next day cook Thai, and then I feel like something classic French. And no, I would have to think about that. Come back to you about it.
We'll come back to that question. In the meantime, Karen, I want to thank you so much about sharing your very obvious passion about talking about food and educating people how they can cook their own meal in a healthy way. Well done. And I want to thank you so much for your time and talking to the brand called you.
Okay, well, as I said, thank you for having me. I'm very honored, and let's talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You videocast and podcast. A platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the Brand Called You.